It's time for the birds, the bees and the bugs, thanks to CareHQ.
Yes, that's right. It's time for the birds, the bees and the bugs, thanks to our lovely friends at CareHQ. We've got CareHQ nurses Charlotte and Nikki here with us. Morena team, how are you?
Morena, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course, we love having you guys up to get stuck into the nitty gritty. Today we're going to talk a little bit about how to broach these sort of conversations around sexual health with a new partner or with partners and getting tested, and how to do it in a way that makes sure that everyone is comfortable. Because, I don't know, we're in a supposedly quite like sex positive era now, but is this something that you guys still see a lot of stigma around and nerves with people in terms of talking about it with partners?
I do think that, this makes me sound ancient, I do think the younger generation, I'm in my mid-30s, I do think that you guys are so much more sex positive, and it's great. Like Nikki and I were saying before we came through that, God, when I think back to parties and stuff, and I was just, if a boy looked my way, I was so happy, like let alone talking about anything. I think it's more about the way that the conversation is broached and making sure that both partners are ideally as comfortable as possible. So, you know, it's a big thing to talk about. And obviously we know most often sex happens before testing. Ideally it would happen first, because then we'd avoid any surprises. But I think it's more about just being comfortable. So pick your moment, pick your time. But remember that this is a perfectly reasonable thing to ask. You know, if we're grown enough to be having sex, then we can definitely talk about the mechanics of all of it. What we sort of try to broach is like, is this something that that people could do together? Hey, we're potentially starting a sexual relationship. Could we look to pop to the clinic this weekend and we'll tie it in with a coffee?
It's a cute date idea, isn't it?
We'll wrap it into something fun.
But it's all part of it, though. I mean, like part of, you know, I think about the conversations around consent and stuff as well.
Yes.
It's like consent is sexy as well. And like part of having fun with sex is being safe and making sure that everyone's comfortable and healthy.
Yes, yeah.
It can be part of the fun. It can be sexy.
Yeah, and arguably more fun when you know it's safe. You know, when you know that you're both going into something that you've got full awareness of, that you've talked about, that you've had those conversations around. So if anything, that makes both partners more relaxed.
It takes the pressure off.
Right. So sort of like quick tips for broaching the subject would be like finding a good space to do it.
Yeah, finding a good safe space, a private space. Recognizing that it could be a tricky topic, a new topic for both people. Like this isn't something that's talked about every day, but we want to normalize it. We want to make it so that people feel more comfortable. This is the start of a potential sexual relationship. This is just what part and parcel. Hi, I'm Charlotte. Also, what are you doing on Saturday? There's a clip note. I think comfortable, private, time of day, time of place. Are we coming to the conversation relaxed? Is somebody coming in a bit stressed? Have we just finished exams? Are we a bit like, you know, pent up? Like, recognizing where each person's coming to the conversation from.
In terms of equipping people if they get a negative response from a partner, because we know that this is the sort of thing that can bring up a bit of whakamā or a bit of shame for some people. In terms of like past experiences, etc. How do you advise people to deal with that?
Well, I think probably it's normal to anticipate a bit of maybe hesitation or awkwardness. And it might not necessarily be the end of the conversation. It might just be that that other person needs a bit more clarity. Maybe they think that you're suggesting that they have an STI or that you have an STI and that this is your way of kind of telling them. But I think it may not necessarily be the end of the conversation. You just might need to park it, maybe give a bit more information and then come back to it. And I think if they continue to react negatively, maybe just, you know, have an open and honest conversation. Is there anything that, you know, is bothering them? But I think if they kind of refuse or are judgmental about it, then it might be that you need to listen to your gut.
Yeah.
Maybe
Give them a bite.
rethink your partner choice, possibly.
Yes. Is this person ready to embark on that?
Yeah. Because a level of maturity and trust is required to, you know, have sex with somebody.
Yeah.
It might just be that they're not at that stage for you to embark on that relationship with them.
Mm. And also, like, regardless of whether the relationship is serious or not, like, if you're with someone who's not going to be conscious of your safety and your well-being, then, like, you know, weigh it up.
It's a choice you have, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's where having that conversation can be. It doesn't have to be, you know, littered with lots of technical terms. It can just be, hey, this is how I look after my sexual safety. Mm. This is how I look after my body.
Mm-hmm.
I want to look after yours too. Can we do this together?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a mutually respectful thing to do. And I think using the I statements are quite handy, you know.
Yeah.
I always get tested before having sex with somebody new. It kind of takes the onus off that other person.
Mm-hmm.
It's putting it onto you and sharing that responsibility with them.
Mm.
Yeah. And kind of leading by example. Like, I do this, and this is something that I want to make sure we do for ourselves.
We normalize it.
Mm. Yeah.
And you can't walk the walk if you can't talk the walk.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely.
You have to talk. That's a good one. You do have to talk about it first. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, very good. We've had a question come through. Do you mind if we diverge from STI testing?
Yeah. I've had a question.
Okay. If a morning after pill was taken the morning after a condom burst, no other birth control, is it necessary/prudent to do a pregnancy test just to be sure we're in the clear? There's been some bleeding/signs of a period a few days after the emergency contraceptive pill was taken.
Okay. Yeah, no, great question, because I think this is something that people encounter a lot.
Absolutely. I would say yes. You could do a test a couple of weeks after you've taken it, or when your period is meant to arrive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just, but you can never be too cautious, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Yeah. It's best to err on the side of caution.
I mean, it's an effective method, but nothing is
100%.
Right. And the good thing in this situation is it was taken very close to the unprotected sex.
Yeah.
I think the longer you wait after unprotected sex, the less effective it might be.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like the listener took it pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, fingers crossed that it would be effective.
Yeah, but you're right. No harm in being overly cautious.
No.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Praying for you.
but you can do it.
It's a really stressful pinch to find yourself in.
Absolutely.
So my heart goes out to that listener.
100%. It's a worrying time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
And they did the right thing. They went and sought help and got the pill.
You're on the right track.
Well done.
Yeah.
Just for anyone who's not super familiar with the morning after pill, how many days? Like, what's the window?
72 hours.
Okay, 72
hours. So it needs
to
be taken within 72 hours of the unprotected sex. But as Nikki said, the earlier the better.
I think it's been extended to 96.
Oh, there we go.
Oh,
yeah,
that's right. You really want to be getting it.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of pushing the boundaries, I think, there.
So, yeah.
Ideally, the morning after or the day after,
mm-hmm.
if you can, because it's more effective taken more early.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's certain points in the cycle where it's more effective as well, so that's why when you do have it, it's best to talk to a health professional about, right, is this the right mode of protection for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Cool. Let's go back to testing for a second and just go through maybe the options for how and where we can get tested and how CareHQ could help with that.
Yeah, for sure. So there's obviously lots of different avenues. Thankfully, it's so accessible, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Yeah.
GP practice for sure. So mm-hmm. people's enrolled GP practice. Some practice nurses can help lead the conversation as well. So it could mm-hmm. be that, you know, if your GP's tied up, a practice nurse might be able to help. But that's dependent on the clinic, so best to ask.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of sexual health wellbeing clinics that we've referred people onto.
Yeah, we were just saying earlier, they can, if you're under a certain age, these can be free services as well, so just to bear that in mind.
Yeah.
And then obviously CareHQ can help arrange testing, and we can give you the voucher code.
Yeah, BFM/-25. Yeah,
BFM-25.
Yeah.
Everyone, write that down.
Luckily there's a lot of options.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Ooh. And like, it's good that there's lots of spaces. Like I was saying, the great thing about sexual wellbeing is you can hit two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
And if you're under 22,
I think it's 22.
Okay.
I think it is. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And they can also help to arrange contraception, as we can So there's, you can have, it doesn't have to be restricted to just one part of the conversation. We can have a broader conversation with people about how they're feeling.
Quite a holistic, a holistic approach, which is
sometimes people come through and they I just want to talk about this experience I had and how I'm feeling about it, and we can definitely help with that.
It's nice to be one and, you know, kind of one and done, I guess, for want of a better term.
Somebody's talking about the comms before sex and how there's often some stigma around it, particularly maybe in some rural areas of Aotearoa. It's an interesting one, eh? Just continuing to keep the conversation open.
Yes. And I do think, I mean, I don't want to out Nikki, but I think she has children close to you. And she was saying the difference that you've noticed is people are so much more vocal about it. But we know that that's probably maybe predominantly more so in cities. And
They seem quite worldly. teenagers that I've got, they seem to know what's going on. And I think social media, you know, all that information is there for them. But if you're living in rural New Zealand and you don't perhaps have people to chat to about it, it can be quite isolating maybe.
Thing is, there's some great like online resources these days that you can just do a quick Google. Hate to be the Google it person, but just Google it.
Just do it.
There are so many resources,
fantastic ones. We were just saying about the New Zealand Herpes Foundation. An amazing resource. It's just dispels all the myths about herpes. It's just really clear, very factual. You know, definitely jump on there and have a look.
I like this movement that I've seen recently. I think it was a campaign that they ran of like, make New Zealand the best place to have herpes, and they're trying to destigmatize it. And they've got all these celebrities who have herpes who are openly talking about it, like Graham Henry.
Normalizing everything. I mean, we see patients and we'll just sort of say, look, predominantly people have sex at some point in life, whatever that looks like, whatever form it takes.
Yes.
We all have bodies. We're all baseline level vulnerable. We can all do some things to protect ourselves, but, you know, it's also about just recognising that things happen. And, it doesn't mean that we have to think of all these stigmas and different ways of treating people. It just is.
Life is tenuous.
Exactly.
It is, absolutely.
Yep. And shit happens.
Shit happens
indeed, Millie.
And you deal with it.
You mentioned herpes briefly, and it's one we haven't covered off yet. Should we give it a quick cover off? The key points?
Key points, probably the main thing is that the herpes virus is basically a cold sore that's either on your mouth or on your genitals. It's called HSV, so herpes simplex virus. It's incredibly common. Many people will carry it and have absolutely no knowledge that they carry it. It is passed on through kissing, sexual contact, genital, skin to skin. Remember we spoke last week about the girls.
The girls' reference. What about the stuff that gets up around the sides?
There's things that can get around the sides of a condom. Herpes is one of those. So a condom can reduce the likelihood of transmission, but it doesn't eliminate it. It's basically also just to say that the routine STI testing and screening doesn't actually check for herpes. So herpes really has to have a physical symptom, so it can give blisters and sores. And if you have those, then we can have a look potentially and just diagnose it that way, but also do a little swab and that can confirm herpes.
Right.
But the test that we send you for at the lab, they don't test for it.
Okay, interesting.
So it's not part and parcel of the usual, there needs to be a symptom.
So can you still pass it on even if you don't have a cold sore? Because I feel like that's a common myth with it, right? That you can only really pass it on
when you've got a flare-up. Is something called asymptomatic shedding. So you could be somebody who never has any symptoms, but yes, you could pass it on to somebody else.
Right.
It's not going to hurt you. It is just a cold sore. And I think about 20% of people who carry it do get symptoms, and often they're very mild and manageable symptoms. The first time you ever get herpes, if you're going to get symptoms, can be quite painful because your body's never seen that virus. It's a bit shocked. You might feel a bit flu-like. You just might feel a bit run down, and then you have a crop of painful sores, mm-hmm. which can make it hurt to pee, can be quite unpleasant, mm-hmm. but that will go away. And if you do get recurrences, which people can do, they're often much more mild and much more manageable.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. And you might never get another one. Right. There are plenty of people who get the first one and don't see it again. So
everyone's a bit different.
Absolutely, yeah.
And there's also medications as well that can help
with the symptoms. Yeah.
Very good. Well, I've just learned so much. I've learned so much, and I feel ready to take on the world and talk about STIs with no shame at all.
Absolutely no shame.
Thank you.
Just the fact that this is even happening is great.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Yeah. We've loved it.
Thank you so much for coming up. Thank you so much, Care HQ, and Charlotte and Nikki. Everyone, if you want to learn more about the mahi of Care HQ, you can head to their website and use the code BFM-25, BFM in all capitals. And you can get yourself a little discount on a consultation. If you've got any questions at all, lovely, lovely people. I can vouch. Thank you so much for coming up, guys.
Thank you
very much.
That was the birds, the bees, and the bugs, only on 95 BFM.